Yeah.
There's just something great about it.
That's wild.
What is,
Talking
this is really
Yu-Gi-Oh!
just a garbage truck on fire, the show is.
In all facets.
I mean, it just really is.
I think we might be live. I could be wrong though.
Okay,
Maybe.
I'm gonna assume we are live. Hello everyone. It's Dylan from Yu-Gi-Oh! Everything,
oh my
and
God.
welcome back to another episode of the Talking Yu-Gi-Oh! Show, The Chronicles, Episode 5, The Belly of the Beast. I hope you guys are having a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday night wherever you are in this big, beautiful world. We've got a great crew for you guys tonight. We've got Pete. Pete, how you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. We've got Dak. Dak, how you doing, my friend?
Pretty good, thanks. Hopefully, everybody's doing well here.
Good, man. Good. We've got Dredge. How you doing, man?
Doing good, man. But I don't think I'm as focused and locked into this podcast as Nick T is. So I'm really excited to hear his thoughts on this episode of the Animation Chronicles.
Well,
sure.
Nick T is joining us. Nick T, how you doing, man?
Focused.
I'm good. I'm good. 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 Glad.
I mean,
to
he's.
Hear.
I think he's look locked in, dude.
All
he's
right.
Locked in.
All right. I'm gonna have to tell everybody what happened. So Nick T.
Why? We could have pulled it off for a good another 15 minutes. Like not even.
We probably
I mean,
could have, but I think it'll be funny.
You guys pulled off
very
Yolo
here.
Pete a lot.
People.
We
did. People will join mid show and not realize what's going on. So I think it still works. So for the people that are here early, they get to be in on it. Nick T. His computer like froze. And we spent like 10 minutes trying to figure out what was going on. Could not figure it out. He's stuck in the call. We've lost his audio. I think he's going to try to get back into the call. So at some point, Nick T may come back on audio or video wise. But at the moment, Nick T is not actually in the call. But according to Discord, he is. And this was the last face he was making before his computer died. So it's a great face. And, you know, it honestly shows how serious he is. This was his face as I was asking him, you know, I want you to kind of give the opening monologue tonight, man. I want you to give your thoughts about the Chronicles. And you can see he was ready. He was stern. He was serious. And Nick T, gone, not forgotten. We hope he will make a return during tonight's episode. But for the moment, Nick T is not with us. And we hope to get him back. And then Calibro is in Alabama. Where, does anyone know where Calibro is?
He's in Hotlanta.
Hotlanta. Okay.
Hotlanta.
That would yeah, my second correct. Guess would have been South Carolina. I thought he was in South Carolina.
That'd be close. You'd be right in the sense that you're trying to figure out where he is in regards to where his sister is, because that's where he is.
Okay.
His sister now just lives in Georgia. So
that's right. She moved after college. Okay. Well, good for him. So Calibur's in Hotlanta, and he is obviously not with us tonight, which is totally fine. But we are going to break down everything regarding episode 5, episode 3 of the Chronicles of the Fallen and the Virtuous storyline. We have actually reached the halfway point with this episode, which is really, really exciting. We are halfway there. There's a lot of people who know the branded lore much more expansively than any of us do, including myself here on the call, and know that like it is massive and really impossible to wrap everything up in the next 10-15 minutes, so which is literally the equivalent of like 3 episodes. So a lot of people speculating that, you know, we got to be getting a season 2, right? So maybe that's something that we will get announced soon. But as of now, the last 3 episodes, 4, 5, and 6 of The Fallen and the Virtuous are scheduled to air in September, in October, and in November. And then we do not know what is next. The meme is it ends right in time for Jump Festa, right? That's the meme. So, you know, even though it is a meme at the moment, it is true, which is kind of funny. But we'll, you know, talk a little bit about that. Generally speaking, do any of you guys kind of want to give your thoughts here on episode 3 of The Fallen and the Virtuous?
Why don't you start us off, man?
All right. I second that.
I second that.
All right, I appreciate that. Well, listen, I did a episode review on it, my first ever Chronicles episode review earlier today, because I've just been dying to get back to reviews. And I thought it was an enjoyable episode. I thought there were more story beats in this episode than there have been maybe in the past few episodes. I felt like we kind of are reaching like the epilogue of the first act almost, it feels like, where we got kind of a calm afterwards with, you know, Ecclesia and with Ferrigit, and apparently it's Ferrigit, not Ferret, as I've been calling her this whole time. So that's just something. Also, it's Flirtily and not Flirtilis, as I've been saying. So, you know, people corrected my pronunciation this week, particularly in the stream earlier.
Thank you,
if I butcher any names, just keep that in mind. But yeah, I felt like this was a really, really good, like, halfway point for this production. And I felt like there were a lot of really, really good story beats, whether it was the Shurag and Flirtilis. I'm just going to say Flirtilis. I don't care. The Shurag and Flirtilis fight that reached its conclusion. Why? Oh, we've lost Nick T. Okay, well, hold on.
We lost him.
That's fine. I'm going to try to go here. Okay, let me very quickly bring Dredger in because I never know where Discord's going to put.
Well, I could get more of myself on the show.
That's right. No, this is better.
Well, I'm always the tiny box. We usually save the big box for Calibur.
Put Pete bottom left.
Well, the boxes should be the same.
No, I don't think they're even by any means.
Really?
Now they're even. Yeah.
Maybe I have to move it a little bit. Now it's better.
Now I don't know, dude. Now there's so much pressure.
Well, dude, I'm just trying to edit on the fly. You know what I mean?
I mean, I'm not gonna lie to you. I couldn't do this. I'm stressed watching this.
He's just performing surgery.
I think I see what's going on. Thank you,
Dr. Dill.
Sean, for the super chat, which we will read, of course, right after we have our discussion. Okay, we should be good now, so everything should be set. A good thing I had the backup Foursquare option ready just in case, like, somebody dropped on the call. So that actually worked out really well that we were able to switch it right over. But anyway, for those that were either being distracted by Nick T or maybe were here to stare at Nick T's beautiful face, we do apologize and we hope you will stay for the remainder of the episode. But yeah, there were a lot of really, really good moments in this episode. And it left me kind of asking some questions like, why were the Dogmatica army retreating? What is the goal of like the Tri Brigade overall? Obviously, it was like a quote unquote rescue mission, but what is their overall goal? And I felt like it was really good, again, for what it was. Can I sit here and say the same exact thing that I've said for the past four episodes? Sure. It's too short. It's too infrequent. But for what it was, I thought it was fun. I thought it was good. And yes, the episode length is getting better. It's still not near where I would like it to be for me to be maybe reeled in enough for it to be like a once a month production. But I will say it was like 5 minutes, 50 seconds, which is good. And I feel like, again, that's like time wise, that's not terrible. 6 minutes. And there's not too much for me to say more on that because I've said a lot in the review. I don't want to be repetitive for people that have maybe checked out the review. So I'll throw it over to Pete. Pete, I'd love to know your thoughts here on episode 3 of Branded.
Yeah, I thought it was, again, it was solid. I do like that we're getting 6-ish minutes, you know, close to 6 minutes, which is, you know, at this point, that's our new kind of baseline, the thing that we could expect the most, and I'm fine with that. There definitely wasn't as much dialogue as I thought there would be in this episode. I was expecting, now we're in episode 3 of this, we would kind of be ramping up a little bit and be getting, I don't know, more background of the characters, and it looks like we're going to get that next episode. I just thought it would be in this one. But overall, I thought it was good. The action in the sky was really fun. Even the stuff that they had kind of in that like center plaza with whatever was going on with those like zombie or robotic-like men, whatever the hell they were. I think that was fun. I definitely expected just a little bit more insight into these characters, but I guess I can't expect too much because it's like less than 6 minutes.
Well that's exactly it. This felt like a big battle episode. It definitely, and I guess because the episode is so, you know, strapped for time, it's like, well, you can have a battle and you can have that dialogue, and it's like it's very hard to do that, and that is like one of the challenges with working with a series where the episodes are this short. I mean, I felt like the most dialogue we got that was like interesting dialogue was going to be that conversation between Ecclesia Ecclesia and Ferrigit. And we didn't obviously get that because that's where the episode, of course, ended. So, you know, of course. But yeah, very well said. Dredge, would love to know your thoughts on you've been the most positive one here out of all of us. So I'm interested to see if you felt well about episode 3 here.
Yeah, I mean, I think the reason that I'm more positive than the rest of the group is I've tempered my expectations fully. Like this again, and I always preface this because every time I think everyone's like does like they like get mad at me, but this does not replace the Yu-Gi-Oh anime. It will never replace the Yu-Gi-Oh anime. It's not supposed to. It just sucks we don't have a Yu-Gi-Oh 9 right now. So this is the only content we're getting. So it gets judged so much more harshly. Now again, the first two episodes, garbage, trash. Animation was good. Garbage, no voice lines. Agreed. I'm not gonna, you know, sit here and say those two were good. They were not. But what these three episodes done with Brandon storyline of giving it me a reason to be like, oh, this is continuing. I'm watching it. Oh, what's gonna happen next? And again, this was advertised as a short. Now again, it started off way too short. Now it's getting to that spot where this is where it's gonna be. It's a short. It's supposed to be a short. The animation still looks great. I am with Pete a little bit. I did expect more voice acting in this episode. I'm a little upset we didn't get more of that. I thought they did a great job in episode two of increasing that from episode one. I was like, oh, we're going to get some. I love getting the talking, seeing these characters interact. We didn't get that. However, that being said, it's still, you know, it's building up to something bigger. Again, though, as I've said, I enjoy it because I've tempered my expectation to know, hey, I'm getting 6 minutes. It's all I'm going to get. Is the animation good? Is there voice acting? Is it telling a story? And it's done all those things for me. Again, that being said, it doesn't replace Yu-Gi-Oh. It's never going to. And we need to, unfortunately, stop comparing it, because when we do, that's what makes it worse. Now, again, could it be better? Could it be longer? Yeah, of course. I mean, we could sit here. We could criticize it for – even if there wasn't – it was Yu-Gi-Oh 9 going on, we still could criticize this show. But that being said, I am happy with the progress. Not as happy as last time, but still the fact we've had three episodes in a row with a better runtime, still that quality animation, voice acting in all three, it is looking better for Konami Animation. Now, the Animation Chronicle itself, we'll see, because as Dylan has said, the branded lore is ridiculously long, and realistically, they cannot finish it in these next three episodes. So what are they going to do? Is it going to be season two? Are we going to drop the project, you know, completely because it's not bringing any money? I don't know. My hope is that Konami Animation, this is giving them some you know, practice for Yu-Gi-Oh! 9, hopefully. But yeah, so overall positive. But again, I'm not over here jumping for joy, saying Yu-Gi-Oh! Saved or anything crazy. You know, sometimes it comes off like that. But you know, I'm happy with what we're doing, and hopefully it continues to build on in the next 3 months.
Yeah. Dredge, I gotta challenge you on this, man. No, I'm totally kidding. I have nothing to say.
You can, man. I'm all about it. You know.
No, no.
You can. I mean, I'd rather have that conversation.
I literally just wanted to say that for the meme, because you were like, I know I get challenged on this every week or every month.
No, I know. Well, because it's I try to be, you know, as objective as I can.
Of course, of course.
I've just gotten to the point where like. I'm not even thinking it's going to be, you know, this long episode. It's not going to be it's not replacing my Yu-Gi-Oh anime for me. So it makes me able, I think, to understand, that's the wrong word, like enjoy it more, because I'm like, I'm not expecting much. I mean, this is what I expected, and then they hit the nail on the head, right? It's like when you go to the movies to a movie like that Weir invites you to, right? You're like, is this movie actually going to be good? And you temper your expectation, right?
Yeah.
When I go to a movie with Weir, I think it's going to be a 3 at best. So if I go to the movie and it's a 4, bro, this is incredible.
Well,
Weir
dragged Nick T to see Cocaine Bear, and Nick T said it was terrible,
yeah.
But Weir loved it.
Oh, yeah.
Weir thought it was a great movie.
Yeah, well, because Weir also expected it to be terrible, and it fit his expectations.
And then Weir dragged all of us to see the Minecraft movie, and obviously we know
that was
that
partially
went.
Your fault, but yes, he was the primarily, fault, yeah, you did not help that.
It was Weir's birthday, but anyway,
you're the one that told him what to watch. He had another movie he wanted to watch, but you said, no, let's go see Minecraft movie.
We don't need to get into the logistics of Weir's movie choices, but
yeah, we need the facts here.
Right, we don't need the facts, but let me just say that I actually have a question that I want to ask, but I'm going to let Dak give his thoughts first, and it has to do with the fact. Well, I'm all over the place right now, Dak. I want you to give your thoughts first in terms of the Chronicles episode 5 here. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was another fine episode. I mean, pretty much like everybody said, you know, it's definitely nice to see it continuing to get better and better each time, you know, getting a little bit longer each time. So maybe we'll have an actual 7-minute episode before the end of the year. Maybe, you know, that would be nice. But, you know, definitely it's nice to see them kind of continue to keep stepping things up with the animation and the music. Definitely would have loved to have more dialogue, more kind of actual focus on some of these characters and kind of a building, you know, kind of that lore and kind of getting a deeper understanding and everything. But in terms of, I mean, the action side of things, I thought it was, you know, nice choreography for kind of the fight itself, you know, everything was looking good. They had a lot of cool shots and references. I mean, I recognized even some of the scenes as some of those kind of cards and, you know, and everything, which was a cool kind of a piece to see. And, you know, it was just kind of a great to see that story continuing. So hopefully it'll build up into something better as it kind of continues along and we kind of move towards, I guess, the end of this first season.
Yeah, no, it's very well said there. The question that I had for you guys, and, you know, the one thing that really, and everybody in chat, you guys can chime in too, because as you know, I don't really look at chat during the Wednesday night shows just as to not get distracted because, you know, I'm pea-brained in that way where I would get distracted. But I always go back and read. The one really cool thing about this production is we have at least some basis of knowing whether or not the series is quote unquote successful. Now, let me preface by saying we don't know how Konami is measuring success. We don't know if Konami is only measuring it strictly on view count. But for instance, when an episode of Yu-Gi-Oh! Vrains airs, or Sevens, or Go Rush, we don't have any data that tells us this is how many people watched, this is how many people viewed the episode. With this production, we do have a way to see at least how many people are watching the episodes because they're uploaded on YouTube and because there's really no language barrier, you know, them being in Japanese and then, of course, being translated into English. And there's actually a lot of translations that they've done. I think Chinese is one. So there's a bunch of different language translations. So I have the numbers here and I kind of want to know if you guys feel like just how you feel about these numbers. And I'll of course give my thought, but the first Sky Striker episode is the most viewed and that has 752,000. The second Sky Striker episode has 346,000, which is almost like a 50% drop. Then the Albaz gives it another bump. The first episode of The Fallen and the Virtuous has 659,000. Episode 2 has 448,000. And the episode that was released about a week ago has 241,000. Now, I expect that number to, of course, go up. But I got to be honest, I know how YouTube works. And most of your views are going to come in that opening week. Unless the algorithm, something weird happens and a video just, you know, explodes like a couple of weeks later, which certainly is possible, although rare. I think, to be totally honest with you, I feel like these numbers are not at the level that I would have expected them to be. And I don't know if these numbers are necessarily like big numbers if Konami is looking at it from that perspective. Again, this is not airing, to my knowledge, on any television network. So the only way you can watch it is through the YouTube channel. So this is how many views it has. You have to imagine some of those are repetitive viewers as well. And I don't know. I just feel like those numbers, like the first episode has 750,000, which is good, 750,000. But then you have three of the five episodes that are below 500,000. I don't know. I just feel like the viewership has been a little more down comparatively to other productions like this, like a Pokemon Generations. I know you can say, well, Pokemon's a much bigger audience, but the fan base that this was supposed to be targeting was that card game Yu-Gi-Oh! Fan base, which is much larger, by the way, than the anime Yu-Gi-Oh! Fan base. I've always said, if every Yu-Gi-Oh! Player watched the Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime, it would be at the popularity level of a One Piece or a Dragon Ball. Like, there's that many people that play Yu-Gi-Oh! It's one of the most popular card games in the world. A majority of those card game players don't watch the anime. So this was kind of obviously targeting that demographic. And with all that in mind, I personally feel like these numbers have been underwhelming. Dak, I want to shoot it over to you. I'm not even going to bring up the reruns, but 5Ds, when they were re-airing Crash Town, broke a million views in 3 days, but that's besides the point. Yeah. Dak, your thoughts on these numbers? Maybe you don't view them as negatively overall as I do.
No, I mean, they're not great, you know, but they're not bad either, you know, like they could be worse, obviously. It could definitely be better. We're kind of in that spot where, you know, really with, I think, a little bit of promotion, a little bit of effort, a little bit of a kind of a push from Konami, it would help a lot. But, you know, it's definitely like in terms of kind of compared to the channel itself, you know, if I remember correctly, they have what, like 330 thousand subscribers or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, you know, they are kind of, you know, getting within that vicinity, you know, where it seems like more or less, you know, a little more views versus subs for the most part. Obviously, it's not every video or whatnot, but you know, they are getting kind of that kind of support and kind of viewership, you know, where it's they're not, you know, they don't have, you know, a million subs and they get, you know, 5% of their, you know, views for, you know, for their videos. Like, they are kind of maintaining that kind of a decent average that you want to be looking for. But yeah, definitely they could be doing a lot better. I think a lot more promotion would help, because I mean, outside of their trailer they post, I mean, I don't typically see anything anywhere, you know, really at all.
They don't promote it at all. No.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's just kind of they throw it out to the wind and hope for the best, which obviously doesn't help it at all. So any sort of push, I think, would definitely drive it up if people were like, oh, that's actually, you know, airing. Oh, I like those characters. Oh, I like that kind of scene. You know, it would do a lot more, you know, even if you cut the episode up into like a, you know, a minute or two, kind of, you know, for like TikTok or whatever, you know, that would drive people to want to check it out maybe a little bit more.
Yeah. Pete, your thoughts on just those numbers and if there's really anything you make of it or not.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I think there's always something to make of analytics and kind of how a show or a piece of entertainment is progressing. I don't think it's a fair comparison, and I know you didn't mean it this way, but I don't think it's a fair comparison to, like, oh, the uploads in a region lock thing for, like, OG Yu-Gi-Oh! Like, yeah, of course that's going to blow something like this out of the water. It's a new product. It's not even a full show. It's a once-a-month, basically promotional short. Those numbers are not going to even be comparable. For what it is, I think it's kind of solid. I know, like, globally, you could be like, oh, well, you know, this is on YouTube. It's free access for the most part. This should have millions upon millions of views. I just don't think they have promoted or they're trying to hit that type of volume in terms of their audience. I just feel like, and I've said this before, I know Dredge is kind of in this boat where it just kind of feels like a test product, right? Like, they are seeing what this studio can do, however large or small their next endeavor will be. If it's in Yu-Gi-Oh, if it's not in Yu-Gi-Oh, they want to see what they can do as a team and kind of build that chemistry, build out their actual resources. And I think we're seeing that each month. So you can take some things from the numbers on YouTube, sure, but I wouldn't dive too into it.
I think that's fair. I think it's also funny because on that same channel, the OCG channel, they always do commercials for the card game product, and they're 30 seconds long. The two Doom of Dimensions commercials, which again are 30 seconds long, 832,000 views, 1.3 million views. And both of those were within the last month. And that's on the same channel, and both of those are higher than anything the Chronicles has done. So, I mean, I just find that to be interesting is all. Dredge, your thoughts, if there's anything to make there.
I mean, I think everyone's kind of said the main things. I'll touch on one thing. We did notice the first episode of both the Sky Striker and Branded did the best. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct, yeah. Yes.
So I think that's because, you know, you get people, they want to see what you know, oh, it's a new, you know, Sky Striker, this is a new thing, let's see what this is. It's Yu-Gi-Oh! 9, this is going to be great, blah, blah, blah. Doesn't do what they want, then you get a drop in viewers the next episode. Oh, we're getting a new lore. Branded's coming. Oh, it's going to be better. It's going to be 8 minutes, 10 minutes. It's going to be great. Oh, it's not dropping in viewers. I think that's what I think people, unfortunately, are kind of like you and Delay when it comes to the Jets at times, extremely optimistic. And because of that, you come back, it's not what you want, and it's eh. And as you've said, it's not enough for you right now, and that's fair. I don't think it should be enough. I don't think you should ever settle for this. It's not enough for being a Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime fan, Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime content creator. But again, as I said, I think for what it is, it's done well. But I do think the reason you're seeing that drop is people have such crazy, like these, oh, it's going to be the next one they do is going to be 25 minutes long. It's going to be a whole episode. And it's just, they're just clearly, their goal is to this as Pete said, a promotional short. That's their goal here, clearly.
Yeah.
And I'm all about it, because if this is the quality of image we're gonna get for Yu-Gi-Oh! 9, I'm excited. Now, do I want that to be in 2028? No, of course not. I'd like it to be in 2026, you know, at least. Again, are we gonna get that? We'll find out in just a short few months, less than 4 months actually, 3 months and 3 weeks, and I think it's 2 days if I remember correctly. So, gonna be a fun time we get there. But it's one of those things that we're just unfortunately gonna have to wait and see what comes of it. But I think you bring up a good point about overall the viewership. Like, you know, is it good enough? You know, probably not. But then again, it's not bad. Like if these were getting under 100K views, oh, I would be very concerned.
Yes,
of course. Agree. But so at least there are hundreds of thousands of people watching this now. Yeah. Then obviously there's rewatches, so maybe not hundreds, but a good amount of people are turning this on and seeing what it is about. You know, so we'll see. Maybe when you know Branded ends and there's a new one, say they're going to do, freaking no. I don't know.
Ghost Trick.
Pick a lore. Yeah, Ghost Trick. And then so that first episode may get 800K views because, oh, this is new, so I'm new. And then the next one drops off a cliff. It wouldn't surprise me. I think that's just the styling of it, you know?
So. Yeah, no, I fully agree. I just I like looking at those factors because, well, I try to get in the mind of Konami from a business perspective, which is really an impossible thing to do because only the people in the inside of the HQ know what the heck that they're thinking and the thought patterns and everything. But I would imagine that that's probably a pretty big indicator of whether or not, you know, the product is performing up to their standards. And who knows, maybe their goal for these episodes was, hey, we want every episode to do over 500K, and two of them have, and, you know, the other ones probably will, given, like, a few more months. So, you know, maybe that is, like, a measurement of success. Who really knows? But, yeah, you know, we've talked about it a lot. It's, like, it's interesting to try to think about who this is really for, because it does not, I don't think this appeals to the people that are Yu-Gi-Oh card game anime fans. And I've said that a lot. I've noticed it in my own analytics, you know, from Arc 5 to Vrains to Go Rush to Sevens, you know, I noticed a drop off in viewership and just overall people that were interested in those shows, in the Rush shows. And even when I make any videos on the Chronicles, there's certainly an even steeper drop off in viewership comparatively to the Rush anime. And I think that, while that's, yes, a very small indicator, for me, it's a very personal indicator because I know most people that are subscribed to this channel and most people that tune in are fans of the traditional Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime. And clearly, there's not as much interest in this product from them. Not saying that there's not interest in this product. I just think from that side, for a majority of people, there just isn't. And so then it's like, well, it's appealing to the card game players, or at least it's supposed to. But the card game commercial is outperforming these videos. So I don't know. I think the whole thing is really interesting. I'm very interested to see what happens in December and onward with this production. But as for this episode, I don't know if there were any interesting things that you guys thought were cool or wanted to note. I love the moment. My favorite moment from the episode was probably when Shirog got behind Flirtalus using Nerval, that bird, as a distraction. And then you get the shot of him right behind her. I thought that, and somehow she is able to tank the hit. I thought he was about to totally murk her. And then of course they retreat. But I don't know if you guys had a moment in this episode that maybe like stood out to you or you thought was interesting.
I think that really right at the end, because that's a good one that you chose, but right at the end when she wakes up and they're kind of in, like, I guess this little, like, rebels encampment. I think when she steps out and there's, like kind of that whole shot of, like, the forest line and you just see, like, the beauty of nature and what it's like out there. Because yeah, the city we've been in is, it's very concrete. It's well sculpted, but it kind of doesn't have any presence, in my opinion, for natural, like, nature beauty or any of that kind of stuff. It is very specific and geometrical. And then you go out into the landscape and it's just such a stark contrast. It's nice to now go to a new environment than we've been in the previous couple episodes. So I'm excited to get into the next episode and see more of that.
Yeah, I think that's a good pick. And me too. I'm excited. The backgrounds are so important for these kind of stories. So I'm very, very excited for that. Dredge, was there a moment that you thought was particularly interesting?
As the person who enjoys it the most, I just, it's good. It's not, you know, nothing really sticks out though, but I am excited on, you know, what is going to happen. You know, they clearly, you know, so Tri Brigade is the ones that are taking Ecclesia and Albaz back to wherever they are, correct?
Yes, correct.
Just to confirm. Okay. I'm interested to see how that goes. Like, you know, Albaz was trying to almost attack Dogmatica. Ecclesia protects Albaz. Tri Brigade rescue/kidnaps Clessia and Albaz. So I'm interested to see how that dynamic plays out. I may not get it all in one episode. I do like Pete's point about the background, the nature is going to be different scenery. I like that. You're of course, Dill, you picked the best scene in the episode. That was obvious. But I mean, definitely some good shots. Again, I just think the fluidity of this animation, you know, overall is just like in comparison to your normal Yu-Gi-Oh anime, I just enjoy this animation more. I've always enjoyed this type of animation. Yeah, it really has a lot of potential. And again, with potential comes more hard work, more effort. It takes longer time to do, and I do understand that aspect of it. But yeah, overall, again, the way it shows on the screen makes it more enjoyable to me. So, but nothing specific, I'll say.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Dak, was there anything that caught your eye?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with those points that, you know, those were kind of some great scenes and some great kind of just stark kind of contrast, really, you know, kind of seeing, you know, rebels in kind of that kind of more or less, you know, kind of in that exactly kind of nature kind of setting. They don't really have, you know, a lot of support. They don't have a big, strong, you know, fortress, you know, more or less, you know, to be able to kind of hide in or protect themselves in. You know, they kind of have that kind of a, you know, outskirts that they have to kind of set up in. But at the same time, they get that kind of exactly kind of that beauty of nature and that kind of element that, you know, could even potentially, you know, have its own effect on, you know, Clessia and, you know, Albaz, and kind of just seeing, you know, even like on them, like on a personal level, you know, as we kind of see them kind of maybe start to hear their side and see kind of what's going on. We have a lot of those kind of elements, I think, that are going to be interesting from a character perspective, potentially, depending on if the next scene is a little, or the next episode is a little more character focused, which is kind of what it feels like it's going to be. But, you know, I mean, just exactly even with like the combat, nice and fluid, and, you know, it really gives me kind of hope for what, you know, more future Yu-Gi-Oh is going to look like. I mean, you know, and this isn't to knock any of the previous shows or anything, but, you know, being able to see this kind of quality and kind of how smooth some of these things are. I mean, you know, definitely I think there can be a lot more that's done in kind of these battle, you know, these attack, you know, elements and these battle, you know, kind of scenes and these different pieces moving forward. You know, and even in these duels, I mean, you know, you kind of see a little bit with, you know, action duels and with, you know, some of these different, you know, speed duels and whatnot, you know, where people are moving around a little bit, but, you know, kind of seeing this new kind of a style to it, I think would make a lot of those types of elements just kind of flow a bit better, look a bit better, and everything out there as well. But one thing that did kind of stick out was, I know somebody mentioned it in chat during your master stream earlier about,
right?
You know, some of the guards kind of,
yeah,
Alex mentioning it, you know, those guards kind of getting back up almost zombie-like. So I did rewatch, you know, before the stream, like I said, I was going to do, and I did catch it towards the very beginning. You know, one gets kind of shot in the face, you know, pretty much, and, you know, just without even like a second going by, he just kind of whoops back up just like, you know, a zombie. You know, and just keeps on going. So it's really interesting to kind of see that element. I'm curious to see what and how that's going to play into everything moving forward there, and if that means that there's a little bit something more, you know, more sinister going on with Dogmatica, you know, kind of on the back end.
Yeah,
like a hive mind almost is kind of the vibe.
Yeah, yeah.
I was going to bring that up. If Nick T, if you want to join the call. It'll. I can switch the scene in literally. Yeah. 2 seconds. So if you want to, no pressure, but you're absolutely welcome to. Yeah, you know, whether there's some zombie thing, whether there's some hive mind like AI control thing, I'm very interested to really see what is actually going on with the Dogmatica. And I think that's going to be really, really cool. But yeah, you know, we're going to have to wait until next week. And even next week, who knows what answers we're going to get, because
you mean next month.
Next month.
Next month, yeah. Yes. Yeah, I'm so
used. Don't get your hopes up, man. Next week, bro, you're crazy for that. Come on.
Next month, and it's probably... Well,
3 days.
I can't even predict.
Bro begging for December.
That's just right. Hoping, all right, there he is.
Oh. All right.
Man himself.
All right, Nick T, you also have a funny story about these three episodes in general, but I would love to know your thoughts on episode 3.
Well, first, hello, everybody. Sorry about the technical
difficulties. Damn, the comments are going crazy the minute Nick T came back. All right. This is wild.
What can I say?
This guy's amazing, man.
It's the mustache.
I was kind of hoping you were going to join in making the face.
Dude, imagine. Oh, my God. That'd be incredible. Yeah, that'd be incredible. As far as episode 3 goes, I really liked it. I really, really liked it. Yeah, I'll get into the story later, but like right just after this. But as far as my thoughts, like, I think at this point, I'm it's a double-edged sword for me, because I think the episode was great. And I think with these three episodes, they're doing a really good job with animation, storytelling, even if it is just 6.5 minutes a piece. Where I'm conflicted is like that. That's how much of that do we get? You know, it's like, are we not going to get a full story? You know, at some point this journey is going to end and we're not going to see all the things that we want fleshed out.
We're halfway, Nick T. This is the halfway point. As far as we know, they could announce a second season, but this is the halfway point, to your point.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's not, I think, three episodes, let's say, on average, 18 to 20 minutes of content. Like, I they've done such a good job with these three in such a short amount of time that 20 minutes is not enough for me for this story. Because I'm committed to the story. I like the characters, even with, you know, limited dialogue. I love the animation, and which I know has been I was listening in while figuring this out, and the animation has been a highlight for me. I'm with you, Dredge. At least as far as like this type of storytelling, I think the animation is like exactly as I want it. And I don't know. Maybe people are going to crucify me for this, but it almost has a similar quality event, like not in terms of type, like similarities in animation to like Sword Art Online. I feel like that kind of looks
the animation style.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like,
the setting and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the settings, the character design feel very Sword Art. And I liked Sword Art. So I think it's just really cool. And I think they're doing such a good job with the storytelling in the sense that like, I'm already like thinking of like, oh, there's more at play here than we're being told in terms of, you know, I'm developing conspiracies already. So like, that's, you know, like it's, I think that's something positive to be said about what they're doing, at least with this story. Yeah. So that's my general thoughts about that. As far as my experience with it, I, you know, was watching episode 3 while eating dinner, and that's when it clicked for me. I'm like looking at the title, I'm like, episode 3? And I must have missed the week you guys covered episode 1, but I never watched it. Turned out I'd never watched episode 1.
No wonder
1.
Why you were so confused.
So, yeah, like, but just based on how they had been doing this, I thought, you know, we were just dropped in where Ecclesia is, has their hammer over the guy on the ground. I'm like, okay, this is where we're getting dropped in, because that wouldn't be unusual for style show. So, but then I realized, I'm like, oh, I missed episode 1 entirely, and then I watched it, and it provided so much, even for 6 minutes, provided so much extra context to what I was actually watching.
Yeah.
And now things make a lot more sense in terms of, you know, the characters and factions at play. I'm liking it.
That's the damage that the Sky Striker portion did, because Nick T believed that that's actually where they would be willing to start us off. With the Albaz and Ecclesia, like, hostage situation. Isn't that
exactly.
Crazy?
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Unbelievable.
It is.
Here we are. Okay.
That whole Sky Striker thing was a travesty. And never forget that second final episode. I'm pretty sure that episode was like 2 minutes and 40 seconds. Like that.
Yeah.
It was wild.
That is crazy. And it was just
the same thing from a different perspective.
Yes. Yeah.
Exactly.
Just
rough.
Ridiculous.
Rough. That was bad.
Yeah. Really ridiculous, but yeah, you know, it's good. I mean, I think we were all pretty positive on this episode. I have loved comparatively to Sky Striker, The Fallen and the Virtuous has been so much better than the Sky Striker.
It's not even comparable.
No, it's really not.
I don't think it's even like fair, because like, oh, here's 6 minutes total of content that isn't even like telling linear story, no voice acting, non-linear storytelling.
Yeah.
I love, like, in terms of movies and like longer format shows, love nonlinear stuff. I think I know a lot of people that hate it. It's like, just tell me the story, point A to point B. No, bounce around, show me different perspectives. Cool. In 6 minutes of content, you're gonna do that?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, really not good, but this at least has been much better, and that's what you always hope for. You always hope for a steady improval, and there certainly has been a steady improval with the Chronicles stuff. But Yeah, really, really cool. All right, we've got some donations and super chats, I believe. Do we have a super chat from Sean Gilbride?
We do.
We do.
Sean, thank you so much, my friend.
We have $5 from Sean Gilbride.
Thank you, Sean.
My first Special Olympics bowling practice of the season is tomorrow afternoon, and I've been extremely restless all day today from excitement.
Yeah, Sean, that is freaking awesome. Good luck. I can say most of us were bowlers in high school. We rolled those balls down those lanes.
Last Friday night, I went out with my coworkers, and we went out for drinks, and then we decided we were going to go bowling, and I haven't bowled
Would you shoot?
I actually, for me, well, I shot a 122 and a 151.
Oh, that's good. Oh, that's like, no, I would say that's good in general.
The 150, I couldn't believe. I was like, wait a minute, am I like? And that was when I was the most probably not intoxicated, but the most alcohol was in my system. So I was surprised.
Well, that's how bowling works.
Yeah, that's how bowling works. That's how a few things work. Remember Russo's famous quote in college? That is how a few different things work. Bowling.
I don't know what you're referring.
Never mind. Yeah, I don't know what you're referring to at all.
I'm not digging into that at all. That feels like a trap.
Yeah, that's bait.
No, bowling's great. Nothing like just grabbing the ball and throwing it, hurling it down the lane, and hearing those pins just. It's a beautiful feeling. Whoa. Sean,
you've only bowled on the Wii, haven't you?
I used to be a big Wii bowling guy, and then my Wii remote, I lost my grip on it. It slipped out of my hand, and it hit my Nana in the skull, and it was very traumatic.
Yeah,
that didn't happen to me, but me and my cousin were playing Wii bowling back when it came out, and he put the remote right through his TV.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So pissed, it was crazy.
For sure,
that's why you had to wear the string, man. You had to wear that.
That's why we were too cool for that. We were too cool.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah, but you could use that Wii remote as a weapon. Dark Emperor Jay, I unintentionally hit my Nana and, you know, put her in the hospital.
A wild statement, dude.
Thank you for the $2 donation. Random question. Let's say you were given the power to take over one of these three companies, meaning you'll have control over every IP and game studio they own. Which one will you choose? Number one, Nintendo. Number two, Sony. Oh, wow. Number three, Microsoft. I mean, it's the big three in terms of gaming. Nintendo.
Oh, he didn't put Kona. I'm surprised he didn't put Kona. Okay.
No, no, he went the gaming route. For me, it's a very easy answer. I actually have a decent amount of trust in Nintendo to do the proper things. So I would definitely pick Sony.
I think I'd pick Microsoft. I think Microsoft's the most profitable that I can get out of the three, probably. Fair. I don't know, but that's just a guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know the data. Microsoft, I've never cared because I never got an Xbox, so I don't really care about Microsoft if I'm just being
honest.
Well,
it's not honest. I think you're forgetting. Like, I'm thinking purely, like, I don't care. I want to be the most profitable, and in my head, just saying Microsoft would be. That's
I would think Nintendo,
the games.
Yeah.
Nintendo's probably be pretty good. Yeah, better than you think.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think the profits are probably good. And, I mean, to be fair, it is also home to, like, some of the most recognizable characters of all time.
Yep.
I think that would alone for me.
Nothing gets me tingling more than the thought of walking into Naughty Dog Studios and handing Neil Druckmann his walking papers. And that alone is reason that for me to pick Sony and say, all right.
Is that because of the mocap thing?
No.
Shut up. Wow. This Reddit rumor for 5 years.
I give Neil Druckmann his papers, and he's going to hear me as he's walking out. I'm going to say, hey, the Last of Us multiplayer game, we're bringing it back to life. He's going to hear me. That's going to be the final thing he hears as he leaves.
And you're going to be a playable character that's the enemy in the game. We're going to take you out.
Oh, yeah.
No, but I would love to do that with Calibro. That would be amazing.
What?
You want to put him in a game?
As if he isn't famous enough, and now he's going to be the hot villain. Everybody, he'll
be the next Far Cry villain.
Yeah, exactly. People will be
Calibro versus a bloater.
Definition of insanity, man.
Oh my god. Nick T comes in and look what happens, man. It gets wild.
Yeah, well, I do bring chaos.
Well, okay, so Pete, which one are you picking?
I'm picking Sony for sure. I feel like for this generation and PS3, so those, you know, two of the last three, they've been cool
and that we need to bring back first party games, more unique games, even if it's not fully exclusive. It's some garbage going on, okay? And games should not be taking 10 years to come out, all right? You know, you would go into Naughty Dog. First thing I would do, I'm walking right into Rockstar. I don't care. I'm walking right into
GTA 6, bro.
Game is dropping right now, this second. We have waited 12 years. The game is coming out right now.
I did my waiting.
Games, you know what, Pete? And then
GTA 5.
And Azkaban.
I'm going to walk in right behind you, and I'm going to say, not only is GTA 6 coming out right now, LA Noir 2 is coming out in a year, and if it doesn't happen, you're all fired.
LA Noir 2.
If they thought they weren't seeing their families working long hours, wait until I take over.
Oh my God. Rockstar Games. If you're working on a Rockstar game, I'm sorry, that's your new family, and that's just how it is.
That's your new family. Yeah.
Hang on. It's like the startup culture. It's like, yeah, we're kind of like a family here. That's the real benefit.
Hear that? That's run.
Wild. Sick of it,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, if you hear that, run.
Yeah, no, really. Nick T, what are you picking?
Slams. You know what? I think I'm picking Nintendo because I love the characters. I love all the IPs so much, and they're very near and dear to my heart. But I mean, in terms of IP, they are vultures. They are absolute vultures in terms of protecting their IP. I think I would ease up on that. You know, I'm a man of the people. I think fan creations make the community stronger, and I would ease up on that iron grip that Nintendo has on their IP. I wouldn't be suing fans.
So if there's a nude Mario 64 mod, you're okay with Mario walking around with huge, you know.
Only if it's huge. You know, okay. if it's small, then
then it's disrespectful.
Yeah, exactly. then we might have to lawyer up. Great, the papers are being drafted.
Yeah. You can't be knocking boy Mario like that. Clearly,
come on.
Working with some stuff.
I thought you were going more in the direction of what they're doing with kind of their Switch 2 stuff, where like you don't really own some of the new IP games. You just basically rent it, and even if you pay $80, they could just take it from you at any point.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, yeah, I think when I say iron grip on their IP, I think that also that extends to a lot of other places with like not owning like Switch 2 games properly. The way their TOS, like on, I've seen like multiple posts about like getting permabanned on your Switch and you're locked out. Like you have
I've seen that on TikTok.
It's like, it's over. So it's like, yeah, maybe I wouldn't do that. Maybe I would roll that back a little bit. So things like that. I think I would just like release, like, yeah, maybe have people own their own games, maybe not get perma locked out of their consoles that they purchased and owned, you know, things like that.
Yeah, I think that's
coming to the 21st century with Nintendo. You know, stop. You know, have actual things that could be maybe modern day graphics for the most part.
Yeah,
could run a game of
like lower latency online capabilities.
So Dak, are you trying to win the Nobel Peace Prize like Nick T, or do you want to release some good games? Which company are you picking?
No, I'm 100% on board. I agree with you fully. Sony, for the most part, I do like, in terms of Nintendo and their games, I do think that, you know, for the most part, they do a decent job. There are some that, you know, make me question reality, but I feel like some of that comes down to really just them not putting their foot down with their moneymakers like Game Freak. You know, I mean, Game Freak just showed, you know, in that Xbox showcase earlier this year that they can make some beautiful looking, you know, stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, all they have to do is like, put the foot down a little bit and say like, no, we want you guys to like take some more time, you know, get it right, get it ready, and you know, it'll be fine. As opposed to just kind of the, oh, do whatever you want, put it out, you know, here's a steaming turd that or a half baked game or whatever.
Yep.
But I do fully agree on the Sony side, because Sony is typically, and you know, I mean, I love a lot of their games, I love a lot of the developers, but they are very stupid in pretty much all facets they do just about. Sure. And that extends, you know, to the movies, to the games, and it's a shame because like they have some of the best people and like greatest ideas, like Uncharted, you know, was a blast, you know, Last of Us, great.
Oh, dude.
But usually, if there's like a cross progress issue, a cross play issue, it's typically Sony saying, no, we don't want that because we want people to buy it on PlayStation. Like, let gamers be gamers where they want a game. you know, and they're starting to open up on it. I'll give them points. You know, they are starting to put things on PC. They just did a basically a nice little trade with Xbox where Xbox got Helldivers 2 and they got Gears of War. So they are starting it. But, like, that's how it should have been for for years, you know, at this point. So yeah, that would be kind of my thing is exactly, you know, kind of opening those up, letting more of that kind of a capability go through. And then, of course, just, yeah, getting in with some of these devs and kind of fixing what's been going on with these games. Because, I mean, 150-plus gigs for a Final Fantasy game, which is part two of technically of a game,
crazy.
is insane to me.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I do the same with Microsoft and Call of Duty, but, you know, it's just kind of like take the time, optimize your game, make it a reasonable size, and you're good. Like, there's no reason for you to be able to just let them run wild and take that much time and hard drive space or focus on, oh, it's only going to be live service and, you know, have 15,000 battle passes to buy, you know, and to focus on, or, you know, their good old Concord situation from the past year or so. I think we just hit that year anniversary since that game immediately launched and died. So, you know, it's kind of like,
oh, that's right.
Yeah, that good old
yeah.
Oh, that's going to be the Overwatch killer.
Well, another franchise that I would somehow get back. You know, we with this franchise, dude. We need to. They're right now. They're not doing well, man. They need gallons and gallons of blood, and I would make sure we get that blood any way possible to revive this franchise. Sly Cooper. It was one of the marquee franchises for the original PlayStation and PlayStation 2, and that is one that I would immediately. And I would beg Sucker Punch to take it back, because I think it's now with, like, Sanjaro Games. I'm pretty sure that's the studio. I would say to Sanjaro Games, I know you worked hard for this IP, but sorry, today's not your day. Yeah. You lost it. And I would give it back to Sucker Punch, because they did a great job with the first three. And I didn't hate Sly 4 as much as most people did. And Jak and Daxter's coming back, too. That's another classic that I played with Sly Cooper. And Naughty Dog, if you work at Naughty Dog, you're going to get a great, big, beautiful raise, but you're not going to see your kids for a while. And that's just how it is.
It's okay.
And when the And when the games are done, then you'll be able to go back to your families. The kids will be okay.
You have water.
You can still, hold on, bring the family in and make them the testers.
Great idea. We'll bring the family in.
And you know what? That promotes a family culture.
We'll have a daycare at the new Naughty Dog HQ. I actually, even better. We'll have a daycare there.
You don't even have to leave the building.
You don't have to leave the building.
You have a sleep facility. Yep. You don't even have to leave the building.
Yep. That's your new home. That's actually a great idea.
Now, from Dredge's face, I don't think his takeover of Microsoft is going to go that way. I don't think he's going to have such
a... Judge wants to take over the most profitable company and then leave. That's my understanding.
Pretty much. I'm going to take over Microsoft. I'm going to improve their game, improve everything, and then I'm going to sell it again and get that out. Yep. That's the plan. I don't need to make... What?
Put Game Pass on Switch?
Yeah, why not? Let's do it. We make a deal. Wait. Hey, who's my Nintendo CEO? Who wants to talk to me? What are we doing? Make a deal?
Nick T.
What do you need?
I don't even care about the profits. I'm going to buy it, sell it for parts.
Yeah, go for it, bro. All yours, dude. I'll take my $700 million. You have it. It's all good, dude. GG's.
And by the way,
my favorite thing with Sony, dude, before you go, is that remember back in the day, when Xbox was killing it with online gaming, talking to your friends, they had the Game Pass, the store, all that stuff. Sony then was like, oh, crap, we should do some kind of store thing.
Yeah.
And their brilliant idea was they couldn't even optimize and have a PlayStation store on their actual home screen when you logged onto the console. So you would have to go to the freaking internet browser, look up the PlayStation store, and then access it through there, through the PlayStation. What are we doing?
I forgot about that. Joke. Yeah, you're 100% right. I thought you were going to mention the one time that Sony got hacked during Christmas break, and for 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
And for 2 weeks, we couldn't
play. Entirely.
There was one that they were down for like 6 months or something.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, it's they've done some things, man.
The Lizard Squad, right?
The Lizard Squad, yeah. Yeah. I think Caliber knew someone from the Lizard Squad.
No.
I think he was associated with one of them, Nick T. I sure? Or he knew them. But I'll have to ask him.
He's not here to confirm or deny.
Yeah, I'll have to ask
him. We'll get back to you with that.
Yeah, of course.
I think you're thinking of the Goon Squad.
Well, no, he was a member of the Goon Squad in high school. Dark Emperor J, thank you for the $2 donation. There was a shareholders meeting today, and they agreed that if no Yu-Gi-Oh! 9 is announced at Jump Festa, you have to sell the channel to TGS Anime to keep stocks high. You'll still get to make videos. You just have to run them by Sam for his approval now. JK, and I would imagine he gets a percentage of the revenue from the videos.
He didn't say that.
I guess not. I don't know why.
That wasn't in the contract, apparently. So
apparently not. Well, that's got to be the shoddiest written contract I've ever seen. But no, listen, I've said it a lot. TGS Anime is great. TGS Anime is someone who really has transcended the Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime, I would honestly say, because he has not covered Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime genuinely since September 2019. I mean, he's going on now 6 years of not covering Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime, I would argue, in the sense of not covering, like, talking about the current Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime. So what he's done with his channel with the retro stuff has been really, really admirable. So he's done a wonderful job with that. Delayed also tacked on another $2 donation. And thank you so much. I don't even know how Delayed saw this. He must have read the message in the small letters. Janeth makes a great point about TGS Anime. The business logic is impeccable. The merger would create so many opportunities. You can replace everything with AI videos and cut quality and paywall every chat. Then you can sell yourselves to Cone Money, who would love it. Yeah, that sounds like the most soulless. What?
Wait, is he talking about TGS and Sam, or is he talking about that King Casper guy? About using AI.
I don't know. Stealing thumbnails.
Yeah, don't is that the using AI. Yeah.
Don't get me started.
It kills
on that
me every
guy,
time.
Man. Yeah, no, really. Don't get me started.
So mad every time.
Yeah, no, me too. Yeah, no. I first of all, thank you guys for using the link. We'll see what happens. I really don't know. We'll see what happens at Jump Festa. There's no reality where I'm going to start using AI for video production or a reality where I sell the channel. But
you've been using AI to write your scripts, I thought.
and sell the channel for what? Yeah. A bag of pretzels?
Sell the channel for like a...
What do you want to sell for?
Sell it back to Konami.
A $20 Jersey Mike's gift card.
I can go with that.
Wait, that's worth its weight in gold.
Hard work.
Yeah.
That's worth its weight in gold. Hold on.
I'll have it Mike's way.
tell Mike to take it to the back and do whatever he wants.
Shut up.
Oh, your thing.
That trend was amazing.
I love it, dude. It's asking for Mike's way. I don't know.
McT,
it's it.
You're a real
it's
guy.
Mike, that's it.
See, I'm glad you came back.
I'm glad I came back too. I felt good.
I'm glad McT came back.
At first, I was so bummed that even like when it came back, I'm like, yeah, I'm just gonna chill in the comments. Like, fuck, screw it. And now I feel good. Now I'm glad we're back.
There you go. I'm glad you came back, man. You know. We'll see what happens at Jump Festa. I'm nervous. I think a lot of people are nervous. And, you know, it's going to be, no matter what, I can guarantee you this. It will be a night that we will never forget. I can guarantee you that.
A lot of tears.
Either way, yeah. You know, it'll
be
a
lot of really questionable comments, for sure.
A lot on the line.
Yeah. The bottle of absolute Pepar. And absolute Citron are on my desk.
You know what's really scary is I'm starting to believe you're actually going to drink if we don't get an announcement.
I think you will.
I'm actually starting to believe it, which is concerning.
I'm going to drink with them right there on stream. I'm going to pick up some bottles and we'll down it.
Well, Dak, you would be fine. It might kill him.
Do you also?
I know that's the risk we're going to have to take for Yu-Gi-Oh! 9.
Do you realize if Yu-Gi-Oh! 9, I'm going to have, don't worry, I'll be blocking the sensitive parts of the body, but I am, if Yu-Gi-Oh! 9 gets announced, I'm taking the shirt off. And Dak, I hope you're ready to run with me because I know you want to film a behind the scenes. And I am running full speed down the street.
Into your AI-generated neighborhood?
Into my AI-generated neighborhood. I'm hopping the fence. I'm riding one of those horses that they got, like, in the side. Wow, that is going to be it's going to be a lot of fun. But, yeah, Dark Emperor Delayed, thank you guys so much. Electric Kevin, Thank you for the $10 super chat. I believe this is the last one we have. Horizon's just announced a new mini arc in 2 months to promote Legend ZA. Despite being only 3 episodes long, we're still getting a new opening for the arc. They really do spoil us Pokemon fans. Yes, that must be nice. Dak, is there anything
I didn't
you
know this was a Pokemon channel.
Well, you know what? That might be what has to happen. Okay?
Maybe. We'll see.
That might be everything. I mean, there's a lot of content you could cover.
No, I think it's...
Yeah.
I mean, listen, but I'll tell you, when it comes to Pokemon, you know, I just wish that Yu-Gi-Oh! Would do the same with their animated side, but they do not
get it together,
and it's sad. I mean, you know, there's not much more else to say. I mean, I've always said Pokemon's the gold standard when it comes to like, I don't know if Pokemon's considered a toy anime technically, but you know what I mean.
I mean, kind of. It's that card game. And
toy anime, yeah. I got you. That man, 666. Thank you so much, my friend, with the bomb, the $100 super chat. Thank you so much, my friend. Thank you so, so much. Memory Log 7-3 is in a mysterious space called Phantom Field. I confronted Jaden and challenged him in a sense duel. Jaden transformed into evil hero Malicious Bane while I transformed into utopic Draco Future. We then start to battle until one combatant falls. I imagine that's like a play on Yuma versus Judai, but I'm not positive on that. That man, thank you so much. If you guys could put some hype, some hearts in chat, please, for that man, even though I know that man won't like it, please do it. Thank you so much, my friend.
Sounds like there might be more to that story, because he said 15 minute cooldown.
It said memory log, right? So I imagine it's like when you're playing a game and you go around and you're collecting the things, you play the recorder tape, and it's like...
One of my favorite parts of some games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
Well, Dylan says, yeah.
No, like no. I was going to say, those parts of games I don't pay attention to. There were times...
The entire story just doesn't care.
There were times where after we would play The Last of Us 2, me, Pete, and Nick T had conversations, and Nick T and Pete would be in-depth talking about, like... something that happened in one of the areas, and I'd be like, what the hell are you guys talking about?
Yeah. And then instead chat, he would make up things that he apparently happened in his game that were not in the game.
Definitely. Yeah, did you guys get that death animation? No, he did not.
Oh, my God, dude. So funny. That man, seriously, dude, thank you so, so much. For the very, very, very generous super chat. I greatly, greatly appreciate it. The generosity from all of you guys. And I mean this as well for people that spend their time here and watch me and watch these streams. And then, of course, the people that go above and beyond with the donations, whether it's through the link or the super chat, the YouTube feature, or even over on Twitch. It's what allows me to do these streams. It's what allows me to make content on the regular. So, thank you so much. You guys are freaking incredible, and you're all greatly, greatly, greatly appreciated. Thank you so much. Just to give you guys scheduling update.
Oh my God!
What the fudge?
Sometimes I have moments like that, and that's been on camera before.
That's concerning.
Where my brain goes on loop and I can't get out of it. That happens
really
to me.
Not good.
Okay, we'll get that checked out.
That happens to me every like 2 months.
I feel like it's more common than that.
He didn't have a stroke, but he definitely is having some trouble.
Need the linguist.
I'm excited. That man's got me excited, man. Thank you so much, dude. September 3rd will be the Talking Yu-Gi-Oh! Show. September 10th, I do not think there's going to be anything September 10th. Because as I announced earlier today, I will confirm it. But it is definitely going to happen. September 9th, we are going to be doing a 24-hour stream, which I'm very, very excited for. So I will be giving...
You're out of your damn mind. Dude, that... You're crazy. You really are, man. You're out of your mind.
He's got nothing else going on later that week.
But, like, dude, it's the lot...
24 hours is easy. 24 hours is easy. I did a buck 30.
Wouldn't miss it for the world.
I did a buck 30 earlier in the year.
It's going to be bananas.
But, Dylan, you didn't do a buck 30. You're forgetting that. You did not do a buck 30. You slept for 8 hours every single day.
It really was more like 5 hours. Because you guys weren't over for 8 hours every night. It was like 4 to 5 hours.
Okay. But you're mis... Oh, you know what? Whatever.
And some of them he didn't even sleep.
Yeah, sometimes I couldn't even sleep.
What do you... What are you like playing for this 24 hours, though?
We are gonna plan it out. We are gonna plan it out, and
we haven't planned it out yet.
We haven't planned it out yet. I guarantee you by this weekend there will be an official schedule. But yes, September 9th, probably starting around noon, to September 10th, ending around noon. That will be a 24 hour stream.
That's perfect.
Time pending. It's gonna be a great time. And then
yeah, it is. Give me something.
We have the 17th should be an After Dark, and then the 24th will be probably the Chronicle. So that is the September outlook. Yes, Judge.
Just heads up, next Wednesday I have a phone call with my photographer, so I will be unavailable.
Okay. Ooh. That is fine.
I have an 8 o'clock. Unless you wanna start at like 8:30, which I would never force you guys to do, I'm out.
Okay, I'll let you know, but I think that should be fine. Mm-hmm. I don't think it'll be
that came up all of a sudden. I had to do it. So sorry.
No, you're good. Wow, that man's
feeling hot.
He's feeling real, real hot. That man, thank you so much, dude. Thank you for the second $100 donation. That man, thank you so much. Thank you so freaking much. As the battle continues on, every attack thrown is imbued with rage, eventually becoming fisticuffs. We are both struggling to keep ourselves standing. Deciding to end this with one blow, we both channel energy and deliver a rider punch to the face. I would love to know like what this is in reference to, because I feel like that didn't have any Yu-Gi-Oh! References. But the first one definitely did, with Evil Hero, Malicious Bane, and Utopic Draco Future thinking it was Jaden and Yuma. Maybe it's from the perspective of Yuma. I confronted Jaden and challenged him in a sense duel. Right, and they transformed into monsters. I get it. So Evil Hero, Malicious Bane, and Utopic Draco Future are fighting. Dak, I know you're a hero player. You smoked, you spanked me, if I'm being honest, with heroes earlier in Master Duel today. You just gave me a good old spanking. Who's winning that fight? Evil Hero, Malicious Bane, or Utopic Draco Future? Draco Future.
I mean,
wins.
I mean, I could see it. I could see it happening that way. I'm not a big Malicious Bane guy, but I could see Draco Future taking it.
Yeah, now Malicious Bane, Draco Future is going to win. I've got no doubts about it. That man, seriously, dude, thank you so much for the double $100 super chats. It is greatly, greatly, greatly appreciated. Thank you, man. I just really, really appreciate it. I don't...
Both? Can't
what?
Be destroyed by battle, if I remember correctly. So it might be a draw.
It's not a draw. Utopic Draco wins. Utopic Draco. Which monster is more aura?
That's the thing. He said it's coming to fisticuffs is the problem, and neither one can be destroyed by their effect, by battle, according to their effects.
What if...
Street rules.
Yeah, street rules. Right, Nick T's right. So, street rules. whatever that means.
Whatever.
Hell in a cell. Yeah.
Hell in a cell.
Bloodline rules.
I don't know. TLC. Oh God, please. I don't know if there's anything else. Well, Jack. All right. Again, I'm not. This is the third time somebody tried to get me with one of these names. We had Mike Oxmall earlier. This one we've got Jack.
Wait, what? What did you have earlier?
Mike, and then space, and then Oxmall. But I didn't fall for it.
Yeah,
I mean,
just these.
You said just a second ago.
I didn't say it. I paused.
What's this one?
He put a little pause.
A slight pause.
Well, this one is Jack. Again, people can read it in the top left. I it's fine. People can read it. We all did it in high school.
He doesn't want to be clipped. He doesn't want to use the soundboard clips.
Nice weather we're having. Also, I tried Hugh G and then Action, but, Rection. Hugh G Action, and it wouldn't allow it lame. I'm actually shocked that the link through PayPal has a sensor for Hugh G.
It should.
But not for Jack or Mike.
Yeah.
Well no, because there's no actual curses typed out in those ones, but
well the other one Well, the other one is like Hugh Jackman, G like the letter G, and then the last name is Rection, R-E-C-T.
That's probably enough.
Rection.
That's probably enough.
Yeah, R-E-C-T is gonna register already.
Right, because it's it's right. I gotcha.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Oxmall is like not a real thing.
No, it's fine. It's not fine.
That's a condition some people have, man.
Oh my god, this is crazy.
Well, whoever Jack is, thank you for the donation. I appreciate it.
The Neoff family are upstanding people.
They built this country, by the way.
They built this country.
No, the beavers. The beavers built this country, man.
No, that's Canada.
The beaver.
Oh wait! Oh my God! Before we get further off topic, no, you guys have to watch this. No! This there's a movie called Hundreds of Beavers. Incredible! No, it's like slapstick humor. It's like a indie film. It's like comedy, but it's just like cartoonish humor. It's insane. It's amazing. No, genuinely really good and really funny. Like, I was cracking up.
I will look it up.
You can't Google that title either. You can't Google that title.
No, Hundreds of Beavers. No, it's fine.
No.
First thing that comes up, it's a movie from 2022.
I'm not doing it.
I see nothing else about beavers wherever your mind is going.
For those of you who want, like, a funny slapstick humor, it's really goofy, really funny. Really funny.
We always, it's like we're doing so well, and then we just get so off the rails when it's not.
Just like,
that one isn't even off
the rails. We're actually more on the rails.
A drunken Applejack salesman must go from zero to hero and become North America's greatest fur trapper by defeating hundreds of beavers.
This sounds terrible.
Are any beavers hurt?
It means nothing.
Are any beavers hurt in the production of the movie?
Yes, there's beavers hurt. He's got to kill them all.
No, they're people. They're people in beaver costumes.
Okay, that's pretty good, Drudge.
Oh,
Jesus,
that's pretty good. You guys gotta get out of here. This is wild.
All right, would you rather see this or the Minecraft movie?
They're both pretending you haven't
already seen the Minecraft movie.
I wouldn't.
If Dylan gave
either.
You the choice of those two movies,
I'd tell Dylan to go jump off a bridge. Is what I tell him.
But you've already seen one, which means you've already given in and saw something.
No, I haven't. Though that's the thing.
That man, dude.
Fred, me and you had a great time with that, dude.
I don't know that. I will never forget it, but it wasn't a great.
But with beavers.
Oh man,
that man.
Trust me on this one.
Thank you so much for a third donation. Thank you so much, that man. Seriously, that is freaking.
I'm baffled right
a third now. Donation has come into chat. Thank you so much, dude. That man, you are the freaking man.
Oh, is that man you, Bell? Is that what this is?
After our attacks landed, we fell to the floor. As I lay hurt, I've realized this whole time I was fighting myself. Jaden was a representation of my dark thoughts and insecurities, my inner demon. Coming into acceptance and peace, I hold out my hand to Jaden for friendship. No, maybe Don't that's... Love. Maybe Yuma is, like, dark... Zexel? I guess I don't even know if the other character is... I also don't know if this is from, like, a fanfic, if this is from something that man wrote. Like, I'm interested in the origins.
He said memory log, and he confronted Jaden, so it could be that man versus Jaden.
Is this a game? Oh!
No, I think he's saying it's an internal thing.
So what? That man is realizing that Jaden, who his least favorite protagonist was, is more like him than he realizes. And I think he's doing a 180 on Jaden, and Jaden will be his favorite now.
I don't know if he said favorite.
Go that far. I think.
Well, I don't know.
But we'll see. We'll have to see. I mean, I'm interested.
I mean, if I'm reading the story correctly, too, this is like it's a metaphor for an internal struggle.
No, yeah, Nick T, you're right, dude. He just said Nick T is correct. Well, Nick T, talk about it, man.
I mean, I'm just reading between the lines here, I guess, you know. No, I'm reading the lines. He's saying here Jaden was a representation of my dark thoughts and insecurities, my inner demon.
Nick T, have you ever thought about, like, analyzing, like, Gundam anime and doing it on YouTube? Because I feel like that'd be right up your alley.
That's really...
I thought it's pretty easy to do...
It is. It's just funny because that was the idea. That was the original thing. I was like, oh, I think I'll do a YouTube channel where I talk about Gundam. Yeah.
I think it would have been good.
I should do it.
You should.
I think it would have been good too.
It's not too late.
What the mech?
What the mech? Yeah, it's that's actually good. It's not too late. That man, seriously, dude. Thank you so much. Well, this is interesting. I've always loved Jaden as a character and as a protagonist. I know that man feels the opposite. So maybe at some point in the last couple of months, maybe that man has had a like change of heart on Jaden, which is really, really
could be.
Yeah, really cool. I don't know if that's where this story is going. Now, that man did say to me, and he said it in chat, that he would be donating a total of $500, which again is, as I've said many times, absolutely not required or necessary. What did you say, Pete?
Did he lose a bet?
He did not. No, no. He has in the past, where he had to gift 100 subs if I beat the Nuzlocke I was on the try that I was on, and I did. But damn. No, it's just him being super generous. And you know what? That man does not need to donate any more tonight. Obviously, this is an insane, insane display of generosity. So give it up for that man. But we do have breaking news here. We do have breaking news.
Oh
my God, man, dude.
Something happened to Caliber.
Double breaking news, apparently.
Well, we do have breaking news. For the fourth straight year, the sandwich sponsor at Jump Festa will be That Man 666. Give it up. Give it up.
Wait.
The That Man subs are returning for the fourth straight year. I've got to find a new sandwich place, but they are returning.
Oh my God. Jesus.
That was so loud. So
I think
it was
going to be that loud.
It's okay.
Oh, I just blew my goddamn eardrum. Jesus. Oh.
I jumped out of my skin a little for a second.
I literally was like bleeding on the inside.
It wasn't as loud on my end, so I think chat was spared. But
that's the part I cared about the most.
Yeah, that's the important part.
Oh, my God. That man, thank you so much for the donation. So this was a scrap dono I meant to give out long ago. I want to illustrate how I forgave Jaden. He's still in my hated character list, but in a poetic sense rather than spite. He's the yin to Yuma as yang. Guess my actual number one would be Owie. Poor Owie. And number 10 would be Chumley. Well, yeah, Chumley, who cares? Yeah, that is funny. So your actual most hated character is Owie, and which... You know, that's fair. I don't hate her. I always felt like Owie was very, very, very terribly written. Painfully written.
Terrible treatment.
Yeah. So I get that, where if that for the viewer comes off as just like, ugh. So I get that. There's a lot of Owie fans here. I don't know if they're watching right now. So I think, you know, you might get.
Number one would be Taylor, right?
Taylor's a big one. I think Pink Penguin's a big one. But again, it's the Chronicles. And I know it is funny. And again, I will say this to anybody watching right now. You really are watching almost for like us, which we appreciate, because I just know that like a lot of people are not watching the Chronicles that normally would in my audience. And I think, you know, I'm always grateful for every viewer we have in here. But, you know, we've been around 40, 45 viewers. I mean, for a Wednesday night, I think this is one of the lowest amount of people we've ever had in here. And I'm not pointing that out to say anything like, oh, you know, woe is me. No, I'm pointing it out because I think there is a lot of data that shows, hey, there's a lot of people that just do not care about the Chronicles. Yeah. And as Nick Tia said multiple times, why should I care about it? It's 5 minutes once a month. Like, it's something fun to watch for 5 minutes, but like, I'm not going to like go into depth about, you know, the show, you know, and like, yeah, I totally get it. I totally get it. And hey, if a Yu-Gi-Oh gets announced at Jump Festa, which I pray there is, and the Chronicles is running in the background, I don't even think I would really cover the Chronicles all that much. I'd probably do maybe like a review, but we definitely would not do a podcast here. And you ask, why are we doing this every month? Well, because there's no other options.
It'd be a fun thing to take a full lore arc and do that, you know, 20, 30 minutes as like a one-off every couple months or whatever.
Yeah. Or, you know, the Arc 5 rewatch is always an idea too, but
there's options.
Yeah, do as like a group.
Yeah, do like two episodes at a time or three episodes and talk about them. I think that'd be fun. But we'll see. Before I made any decisions on it, I wanted to wait to see what happens at this year's Jump Festa, and then we'll go from there. That Man Dude, thank you for the insanely, insanely generous donations. Thank you for the story. By the way, kind of recapping what's going on in regards to Jaden and your journey, realizing that your hatred for Jaden was stemming from within yourself. Very, 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 what's the word? I don't know if bold.
Introspective.
Introspective. Oh. That is the word. Thank you so much. Very, very good introspective job to realize that. And that's something that, you know, something I try to do, something that I think everybody should try to do. It's not easy. It's not easy to look inside yourself and find the darkness. And sometimes, you know, we've been in that darkness and you got to get in there and you got to, you know, make peace with it.
It's number five.
You know,
by the way,
one of my most used redeems.
By the way, two Sundays from now, when Aaron Rodgers takes the field, me and Delayed and Dean, boo! We're booing. We're booing. That man.
Going.
I will be there.
I spoke to a guy who's a Titans fan.
Only you weren't gonna. Yeah. I can't be there, man. I can't do it to myself. And your sickness brought you there.
I've got the tickets. I'm not proud of it. I'm not even excited for it. But it's something I have to do. I don't have a choice, unfortunately.
We believe in you.
That's very untrue.
I cheered him the last two home openers, and now I get to boo him.
I interviewed a guy who's a Titans fan today, and he first of all said his condolences, because if by some chance you lose, things aren't going to be looking great for a lot of
fans. I don't want to think about it. That man, I want to say thank you for the fifth one. Seriously, what a freaking generous gift, essentially. Thank you so much, dude. Without light, I am lost. Without darkness, I am blind. But together, I can fly high with wings for the future. Henshin, Contrast Hero 39, Utopia, Ray, Neo. Next week, maybe just one more donut. You really do not need to donate anymore. I promise you. For the rest, insane. For the next 5 years, dude. See, with what you've done for me, dude, seriously. Once again, that man 666, five generous donations. I'm going to give it up for him. If we could put some hearts and some hypes in the chat, please go ahead and do that. Thank you so freaking much, dude. You do not know how much that means to me and how much that helps me. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And you know what? That is a beautiful message, that man. And that is a message that I feel is perfect to kind of wrap things up on. I don't think we have anything more to kind of go into with the episode. That man, seriously, thank you again. And somebody else that I've got to give a thank you to are four strong men. Nick T, Pete,
weird.
Dredger,
yep.
And Dak, four men that I have glanced at many times, that I have looked at many times, and that I call some of my dearest friends. So huge shout out to the four of them. I'm going to let Nick T start, and then we'll shoot up to Pete and just kind of drop down to Dredge. Nick T, we're going to rip it over to you, man. What is going on in the world of Nick T, Nameling, Mom Fights? Let's go, man.
Oh, man. You really just took me by surprise here. I'm left
really
with words,
that surprised you?
No, he just the thing. I don't know, the glancing. I'm baffled.
I thought he was gonna say gooning. Honestly,
yeah.
At least he didn't say that.
I'm glad he didn't. Yeah. Anyway, not much news as of right now, but I will say, Nameling, album release show is starting the planning processes. So be on the lookout for that. Plus an extra Nameling single maybe out soon, produced by my good friend Guy. Fragile Homes is getting our EP mixed as we speak, and Mom Fight will hopefully be back in the writer's room soon. So be on the lookout for those three projects: Nameling, Fragile Homes, and Mom Fight. All have music streaming everywhere. I'll have music for purchase everywhere. If you buy your music on Bandcamp, iTunes, you name it, Amazon, it's there if you want to purchase it, and it's everywhere if you want to stream it. So Please support my projects and follow us on social medias and whatnot.
Love it. Love it. Pete, what's going on with you, man?
Yeah, I do YouTube, Clueless Gamers, my football podcast I do with my friend Brian, First and 10. We're recording our first episode of the season on Monday, so expect to see that out Tuesday or Wednesday of next week. Really excited to get into that. It's our prediction show. So we got to put our money where our mouth is for the NFL season. I'm excited to kick start that. And as always, follow me on Twitter, PeteCaro21.
Beautiful. Love it. Beautiful. Dak, what's going on, man?
I'll just streaming over at good old twitch.tv/DakFTW. We finished Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep last
Hell
week.
Hell yes. So
that's six down, I think, in our journey through all of the games. So that's pretty cool. I think we do Dream Drop Distances next, if I remember the order right. That'll be fun to jump in and do. We've been doing a Pokemon Nuzlocke for Pokemon Glazed, which has been going pretty well overall. And then just Expedition 33, making our wonderful squad and making headway through that too. So definitely a lot of fun. Probably jumping into one of them tomorrow at some point. And we'll see how things go.
Beautiful.
Love it. Love it, love it, love it. My friend Dredger, what is going on in your world?
Streaming at twitch.tv/DredgeAnder. Doing a bunch of different things. We actually going to finish the other half of Duelist of the Roses this weekend on Saturday. We're going to be doing that. That'll be exciting. We beat all the Red Rose Duelists. Now we need to beat the White Rose Duelists. So that should be a good time. And then we're also probably doing some of our either Pokemon Black Nuzlocke or our Yu-Gi-Oh! Fire Red ROM hack also. So look out for that this weekend.
Awesome stuff. Please give the guys a follow. Shout out to Calibro as well. His stuff is in the description. Without them, the Wednesday night show would not run as smoothly as it always does every single week. So huge thank you to Nick T, Pete, Dredger, Dak, and Cal as well for always helping me on Wednesday nights. And huge thank you to you guys for always showing up and coming by. Seriously, it's much appreciated. This is going to conclude episode 5 of The Chronicles, episode 3, The Fallen and the Virtuous. Belly of the Beast. Thank you all so much for watching. Love and appreciate all of you. Huge shout out to that man as well. Thank you, dude. Thank you all so much. No streams tomorrow. We'll be back Friday. And I hope you have an amazing day. Take care, guys. Have a great night.
Good night. Bye-bye.